I'm Frank Vaughn. It is Sunday, March 9th, 2025, and today we're going to clear the desk and appropriate to that theme. Justin Trudeau is gone, but don't count on him being out unless we face the structural problems with Canada, the problems with our federation, with our constitution, and the fact that the citizens have no representation. He'll probably come back in 5 to 10 years as Canada's hero, and Canada being what it is, will probably buy the narrative, because what we have on offer now, even though the votes haven't been counted yet, we all know it's going to be Mark Carney one way or another, and the art suggests everything. First off, he's faking his pictures with AI, and the tone is dark. And on the campaign trail, he is promising Canadians suffering. He is promising emergencies. He is saying the good times are over. And though he'll give his all to Canada, even though he hasn't been here for a decade, he's only been advising on our destruction from overseas, he's supposedly ready to give his all and save us now. In honor of Trudeau stepping down, I've worn Liberal red today, and in honor of Mark Carney, I've got the vampire collar turned up because he might actually be a vampire. Jack Steer says, pandering Pierre. He's gone from hero to zero in a matter of weeks. I don't know what happened. He was strong, he was campaigning on a middle ground, and then he decided in the last little while he was going to just throw in with the opposition. When it comes to the trade war with the United States, he decided to give this rally. Look at his face. He doesn't even believe this. He doesn't even believe what he's doing. He's listening to advisors. This isn't coming out of his own head. And the idea is that he will conduct a stronger, more visceral trade war with the United States, campaigning right alongside the whole Team Canada narrative, where the only option is hysteria when it comes to the United States. When it comes to the Ukraine war, look, folks, it's very simple. The Liberals, the NDP, and even the Greens, whose whole raison d'etre is that they will save the planet from environmental catastrophe, they all support the war in Ukraine, which leads directly to World War III. And I can't imagine a much bigger environmental catastrophe than nuclear war, just to start, and the nuclear winter that would follow. Yet they all fall in line. So Pierre, in all his wisdom, he decided, what can I do? I could support a peaceful resolution. I could support scaling back the war and actually trying to save the planet. Or I could just say, we got to go harder. We got to go stronger. We got to support Ukraine even more. Why isn't he just coming out and saying boots on the ground? I mean, if that's his strategy, it's so ridiculous that Trump is left in isolation for trying to end a destructive war. It's so ridiculous that people don't realize that if Kamala Harris wins the election in November, we're already in a third world war. That when they campaign on supporting unlimited warfare and unlimited support for Ukraine, first off, they're campaigning for a guy who has embezzled and fraudulently misappropriated funds, who has taken guns from Canada and sold them on the black market to put them in his pocket. Do you know how many offshore bank accounts Zelensky had? Maybe I should show that next. The fact of the matter is, they're supporting a position that leads to the death of your family and your kids, because that's what happens in a nuclear exchange. The whole thing comes unglued. And he stands in front of the Canadian flag. It won't exist. And for what? To support a regime that was installed by a coup d'etat, to support a regime that was shelling and killing Eastern Ukrainians. For a long time, I used to do reporting on it. Nobody seemed to care until the war started and people were told what direction they should care in. This is the Organized Crime and Corruption Reporting Project. Before the war began, you could trip over the mainstream news articles that covered the truth about Ukraine. Everybody wanted to talk about how corrupt they were. But then it all stopped. Pandora Papers reveal offshore holdings of Ukrainian president and his inner circle. Ukrainian president Volodymyr Zelensky rode to power on pledges to clean up the Eastern European country, but the Pandora Papers reveal he and his close circle were the beneficiaries of a network of offshore companies. Ukrainian president and his partners in comedy production owned a network of offshore companies based in the British Virgin Islands, Cyprus, and Belize. Zelensky's current chief aide, Mr. Shafir, as well as the head of the country's security service, were part of the offshore network. Offshore companies were used by Shafir and another business partner to buy pricey London real estate. Around the time of his 2019 election, quote-unquote, Zelensky handed his shares in a key offshore company over to Shafir, but the two appear to have made an arrangement for Zelensky's family to continue receiving money from the offshore. And you can go on to read. And if you say to me, organized crime and corruption, that's not a mainstream source. Let's go to The Guardian. Revealed. Anti-oligarch oligarch, in quotes, Ukrainian president's offshore connections. And this goes on to detail just how crooked this man actually is. And what have we done since 2021 when this article was put out? We've shipped hundreds of billions of dollars in untracked aid right to the Ukrainian government, and they have laundered and embezzled the vast majority of it, ending up in their pockets, shipments to these offshore bank accounts. But all of a sudden, your mainstream media in lockstep with your governments don't want to tell you the truth. We will probably circle back around to Ukraine as we go. Liberals choose their leader today after campaign defined by chaos of Trump administration. Don't you find it interesting how often our politics is defined by the United States? They have a shooting down there, we have to have more gun laws. They announce a policy, we have to react to it. They assess tariffs to us, which we have assessed to other nations in the world, including America, and we have to act hysterical. China slaps tariffs on us yesterday or the day before, it might have been on the 7th, they slapped tariffs on us, and we don't go hysterical about China because China owns a lot of Canada. They have a lot of influence here. Their triads run this country. I've proven it in source documentation in every single video I do. But we're supposed to believe that the Trump administration is chaotic. It's never been clearer what Trump was going to do. He made it clear during his campaign. He's actually doing what he said he was going to do. I don't know where the chaos comes from. The cuts, Doge going around and trying to cure the deficit problem, exposing fraud and criminality? Is that the chaos we're talking about? Or is it these tariffs, which snip, snap, snip, snap, they come and they go and they come and they go? They're going to end up coming. I said in a previous video that the reason Trump was delaying in the first place was to let this leadership process clear out. He is delaying to April 2nd so that the government has a chance to actually trigger an election here in this country. He may not believe in Polyev. I don't either. I think Polyev has really made a huge mistake. Even if he gets an election and forms a government, he's going to have to flip-flop in order to appear like he wants to have peace and a good relationship with the United States. He's left himself way out of position, very unwise. And that's the reason. Trump is putting us off guard. There's nothing chaotic about it because he spelled out very clearly what it was he was going to do. He spelled out very clearly in the executive orders he signed in his first days exactly what his problems with Canada are. They're twofold. We are a criminal international hub for terrorism and organized crime. You can see it in your streets, and you can see it in all the documents I provide. It's not a conspiracy. It's a demonstrable fact. The second problem is we're applying tariffs to them all day, every single day that disadvantage American companies. And he is about rebuilding America. So he doesn't like it. And he doesn't like the fact that our country, which does nothing but insult Americans and has this arrogant view of ourselves, this country that has left our guard down and depends on the Americans to protect us for our own security. He doesn't. We spend our time insulting Americans, specifically insulting Trump. And then we have the audacity to get hysterical over a tax? Canada loves taxes. So, chaos of Trump administration. There's your multi-billion dollar headline that you paid for as a taxpayer. With the non-resignation finally playing out, remember Trudeau resigned how long ago? Months ago. He suspended government, prorogation. We haven't had a sitting government, but they've been busy because, see, Canada doesn't need to have a sitting government for the dictator under the prime minister to continue dictating what is going to happen. The bureaucracy ticks on, and Canada will keep changing itself and keep altering itself and keep screwing you, the taxpayer, while your legislators sit at home collecting paychecks. Trudeau was within his rights to request prorogation federal. And now that the non-resignation has finally played out and our prime minister has resigned, you need to understand that when he prorogued Parliament and he sent your members home, who get to still collect their paychecks while they sit on their keister, the government, the bureaucracy has been ticking along, ruling over you, and you have no say or command and control of what they are doing. You don't even have representation right now. And your courts, 75% of their justices, which have been appointed by Justin Trudeau, have found that Trudeau was within his rights to request prorogation. Federal court says in historic ruling, the applicants failed to demonstrate that the prime minister exceeded any limits established by the written constitution. I actually agree with this because our constitution sucks. This federation sucks. The way things are written suck. We're going to have a prime minister soon. within today or tomorrow, we're going to have a prime minister who isn't even elected, is barely a Canadian citizen, may not even qualify for the internal Liberal policy, but nobody's bothering to ask the question because Mark Carney has been selected, not elected. Liberals add nearly 200 more firearms to prohibited weapon list. No vote in Parliament. These order in councils. These dictatorial totalitarian commands that come down from on high, they target the most vetted and responsible community in Canada. If you're a legal, licensed gun owner, you don't have a criminal record, and every single day you are scanned through a computer system to make sure that you haven't had any interdictions with the police. You don't even have to be charged. If you're pulled over for a speeding ticket, you might be flagged. It's as simple as that. And these guys are coming after us. There was another mass shooting in Toronto. There's shootings every single day in this country. The guns that are being used to do the shooting are illegal. Their answer is to come after the most lawful community in this country. And they're doing it without you having any representation in Parliament right now. Government's been sent home, yet they're still ruling by edict. Is that how a democratic country is run? Is that what we are now? It's not even that's what we are now. That's what we've always been. And you should wake up to it. Canada to grant legal status for thousands of undocumented construction workers. These are people that haven't even been vetted. These are people who are brought into this country as scabs. These are people who are brought into this country as mules for the drug trafficking empires that we have exposed on this channel. We don't know who they are. We don't know where they come from. We barely know who brought them in. And now we're going to give them a pathway to residency and probably citizenship. Isn't that wonderful? We don't even know how many we're going to extend it to. But as long as they're in the construction industry, do you think the construction industry is corrupt? With everything else in this country, from transport to our borders to the ports, being demonstrably corrupt, being demonstrably overrun with foreign bad actors and influence, do you think the construction industry is immune? With no representation, your government is going to grant citizenship to thousands. Canada, with its housing crisis, with its runaway inflation, with its affordability crisis, is going to bring in another, first off, 8,900 people approved for permanent residence as of December 31st, 2024. And 3,900 of them have been approved, and we are committing to resettling 4,000 more Sudanese nationals and their families as government-assisted refugees by the end of 2026. So in the midst of a crisis where you can't afford anything, where your country is being overrun by criminal mass immigration, by criminals of every kind, these guys are going to come in who've never paid into Canada, and they're going to be collecting multi-thousand dollar checks every single month at your expense. While you can't afford to eat, this is all being done without you having any representation. X threatens our democracy. Canada should ban it. Who says this? David J. Klumhaga, an award-winning journalist, author, and post-secondary teacher, poet, and trade union communicator. Jeepers creepers, what a laundry list that is. So X, which is the only source of decent information right now, outside of the propagandized mainstream media that does nothing but parrot the government line, should be banned because it is counter-narrative. It has nothing to do with misinformation, and it has everything to do with absolute control of the narrative, as well as a failing business model. This from blacklocks.ca, bleak outlook for television. Conventional TV is on a downward trajectory that will see networks fight over an ever-dwindling pool of revenue, says a CRTC report. All television programming, with the exception of sports, is now a money loser. They can't maintain market share. They're losing money. Meanwhile, content creators on X and other platforms are doing real good journalism, real good documentary work, and they're out competing. We're more efficient, so we cost less, and we have better output. You watch a half-hour news program, you're lucky if you see four stories, subjects covered. In a half hour on my show, you're going to see 15 to 20 stories covered in a good day. The press needs the government. From a CEO, newspaper publishers need the government. Their chief lobbyist yesterday told the Senate Transport and Communications Committee, "We need them," said Paul Deegan, CEO of News Media Canada. "We have a market failure here," testified Deegan. "We need a solution, and that's why we've come to government, even though, frankly, we'd like to stay as far away from government and the CRTC as we can, but we do need them." The market failure is that the market has made a choice and has said that the market is sick of being propagandized. They don't want to buy it anymore. They don't want to give it mindshare. They don't have the attention span for it because it's junk. The market failure is not with the market itself. The market seldom fails. The failure is with these media companies failing to adjust, failing to give high-quality stories, failing to do anything except parrot the government narrative. The media in Canada is already subsidized by the government to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars. It's not just CBC. It's everybody. And they're asking for more. They have declining viewership. They have declining relevance. But they want more public money to maintain themselves. And he actually has the audacity to say, "We would like to stay as far away as possible, but we're willing to take your money and support." That's why they want to ban X, because we're crushing it. And just so you understand, blacklocks.ca is an investigative reporting firm, I'm going to call them. They have a paywall. I think it's, last I checked, it was like $340 a year they charge to read their articles. And it's clearly a business model that works. You've got guys on Substack. You have to pay to read their content. Clearly it works. You've got Patreon. People have to pay for exclusive content. Clearly it works. Just because I'm not doing any of that doesn't mean I'm judging them. What I'm trying to tell you here is that they are out-competing mainstream media, and you have to pay out of pocket with your after-tax dollars to support them. Isn't that interesting? So they're begging the government for money to keep them alive. Meanwhile, the people are building the new media. And this is an example of what's on offer from your state-funded and subsidized media. "I'm just so embarrassed. BC family to renounce American citizenship." And it's a puff piece. It's emotive, which means it is just meant to pay. It's just meant to prey on your emotions. And every single day, the only thing you need to know is the mainstream media is running puff pieces like this. They never talk to the other side. They never talk to people who are fed up with the Federation or the Constitution or their government, or talk about the benefits of the 51st state. There's many objective benefits. You can argue very solidly and very objectively that the citizens in Canada would be much more sovereign as a state in the Union. Because Canadians are not sovereign right now. You don't even have something simple like property rights. It can be taken away from you in a whim. That's what those 200 new banned firearms are. That's your private personal property that was legal one second and illegal the next second. And the government is demanding that you turn it over. They don't even have to compensate you. They can just use the guns that are in their hands, that is the police's guns, to come and seize your property. And it's not just guns, it can be anything. You can seize your property at the barrel of a gun. That's Canada. This has been sitting on the desktop for a while. Canadian aid workers warn catastrophic U.S. aid halt puts Ottawa's projects in limbo. Why is it we're dependent on American capital for our government projects? That's really the question that should be asked. International Development Minister says Canada deeply concerned because one of our piggy banks has been cut off from us. It's not enough that they rob you as a taxpayer at epic levels. They have to rob the American taxpayer too while they're at it. This links into this. This is why you have to be careful with these lists that talk about taxation or talk about how free a country is. Who puts the list together and how they put it together can frame things very misleadingly. So this list, which I see, and I can't remember, it was some response to something I said on X, shows the effective highest marginal income tax rate in each country. And look at that. Canada is less than the United States. Do any of you believe that? Does anybody believe that the highest marginal tax rate in Canada is 33%? That's one level of government. If you include provincial, if you include property taxes and surtaxes and excise taxes and all the other various levels of taxation, the Canadian tax rate at the highest level rises into the low to mid 50% range. That's right. Low to mid 50%. And the U.S. tax rate declines. You have got to be so careful. It's so misleading, some of these things that are out there. Canada's tax rate is nowhere near 33% for our highest earners. It is much higher. Here's another example of our failing mainstream media. Invading Canada would spark guerrilla fight lasting decades, expert says. With what guns? The government's taking them all away, so who do they expect to fight? We can't even field our own military. We are at 50% or lower readiness. We don't have ammo. We don't have materials. We don't have manpower. We are 25% short of our army's, like, already limited needs. Our army's already shrinking and can't field itself, and nobody wants to sign up, so we're opening it up to foreigners. We're basically turning the woke DEI gay rainbow flag Canadian army into a foreign legion. Will they even speak English in 10 years? If we're around in 10 years? Where's this guerrilla fight lasting decades coming from? But it's an expert. Don't you love that? That's another word. I think every time the mainstream media uses the word expert, they lose another 1,000 viewers. And who's the expert? Dr. Aisha Ahmad, very good, solid, old stock Canadian name, an associate professor at U of T. Dr. Ahmad has studied insurgencies and visited many conflict zones for more than 20 years, and she sees a pattern of resistance that repeats itself every time. Canada does not have a modern martial history. There's no active violent resistance in this country. And what are they doing? The government is seizing guns, supposedly to stop gun crime. We know it's bollocks. But they're not doing anything about gangs or anything else. They're targeting the very people who might form the backbone of a resistance and demoralizing them. They have assaulted our national identity. The very thing that underlies a resistance movement is a sense of place and a sense of identity. They've taken it all away from the people who might actually fight for Canada. They have said we're a cultural mosaic, that Canada has no core identity. We have become a resource colony to the world. We are literally open to everybody except the Canadian identity. Every identity except the Canadian identity. So what core exactly are we going to unite around and fight for? People virtue signaling online about ketchup brands, which are still owned by American companies, isn't going to solve anything. Giving Doug Ford another contract to produce Made in Canada stickers, which is probably what it's all about, isn't actually going to lead to a resurgence of our core national identity. Most people can't even tell you what Canadian means outside of saying we're not American. Our core identity is what we're not. Our core identity is supposed to be everybody else's identity. If you actually think about it from a psychological perspective, Canada is like one big batch of mirror neurons. We don't have self-identity, so we copy everybody else's identity. And now all of a sudden they want to resurrect this image. There's no guerrilla fight. There's nobody to fight a guerrilla war. Speaking of guerrilla war, the headline is, as Jagmeet Singh condemns terrorism, second video shows him speaking alongside Sikh separatist. Canada's top politician Jagmeet Singh, under the radar of Indian intelligence officials over his pro-Khalistani and pro-Pakistani propaganda. So he knows something about guerrilla wars. The only thing that I'm looking forward to, if we get a federal election, isn't a change of government. Mark Carney's mission is continuity of government, continuity of liberalism. And there's a huge cohort of the Canadian population that believes nothing gets better than the Liberal Party of Canada. Every other option is worse. And that includes the NDP. And there's a certain cohort of voters who will support the NDP no matter how foolishly stupid they get, including electing a man who can't leave the country and go do diplomacy in other nations because of his ties to pro-Khalistani and pro-Pakistani propaganda when it comes to guerrilla warfare. I would enjoy watching the NDP get absolutely stomped in an election, which is what will happen. The left will coalesce around Mark Carney for unknown reasons. It's not logical. It's not rational, which is probably why Pierre Poilievre is trying to pander to them, but it's not going to help him because it never helps conservatives in Canada to pander to the left. How many elections do they have to lose before they figure out they have to actually oppose, that they're not going to make friends out of the people who are committed to them never forming a government? Shifting our focus back to Trump's America, which will be of much more consequence to Canada's future than just about anything our politicians can muster. If NATO countries don't pay fair share, the United States will not defend. What is Trump's problem? What is America's problem? Mike Lee says, get us out of NATO. 70% of the NATO budget comes from the United States, spent so-called defending Europe, defending other nations, defending Canada, which has left its guard down, and we just depend on the United States to take care of us. The Americans are sick of it. Also, NATO's supposed to be a defensive alliance. It was constituted to counter the Warsaw Pact and the Soviet bloc, which no longer exists. And NATO has a long history of offensive operations, the biggest of which, the most glaring, massive evidence of hypocrisy and the changing mandate of NATO is how they killed Muammar Gaddafi in Libya and unleashed chaos in the region. They have open-air slave markets now in a country that was the most developed in Africa and was moving through Africa, was actually lifting people out of poverty, was actually doing good things for the nations of Africa. They killed him and they left chaos in his wake. They bombed Syria. They've been behind foreign excursions. And now, what is... While Trump is talking about this very real fact, and everybody's getting lost in apoplexy and anger, what is Europe up to? European military chiefs propose sending 30,000 troops to Ukraine. What's NATO doing in Ukraine? They're not a member of NATO. So why would we station troops there? What else is NATO up to? More of the same? Germany resumes Afghan flights after legacy parties survive election scare. So Germany, who also is not paying their fair share in NATO and not looking after their own security, is flying more Afghan refugees in by the plane load to dump on the German people. AFD, the Alternative for Germany, has risen to second place in their parliament. They're the government in waiting. And even though they paused these flights to get through the election campaign, once again, the German people have been duped. And calling the AFD Nazis isn't going to solve Germany's problems. And eventually enough of the German public is going to wake up and they're going to make the Alternative for Deutschland a government. Because of practices like this, this is what one of the largest, most financially competent governments and nations in NATO is doing with their resources and their money. Canada failed when it trained Ukrainian troops linked to the far right, says Nazi Hunter. This is from April of 2022, just after the war started. The Canadian Forces says it has no obligation to be entirely certain of the backgrounds of those soldiers it trained in Ukraine. The Azov Battalion, the long-standing links between the Western Ukrainian people and their hatred of Jews and Poles and the pogroms that they've conducted against those people is the stuff that books have been written about. I'm reading one right now. I wish people would read and understand history. They might come to understand what incentive there is for the illegal regime, the dictatorial regime of Zelensky, before the war started, to try and kill off the entire Russian culture in the East. I'm going to cover that in more detail in a future video, because people need to understand the history of Ukraine, understand how we got here. Instead of just like dolts putting flags in their bios, they don't even know what they're supporting. This is another NATO country, our country. This is before we brought a known Nazi quote unquote war hero to the Canadian Parliament and gave him a standing ovation. Back when Pierre Poilievre knew to just do a little bit of a golf clap and show his disdain for the entire process before he became a full-fledged warmonger in Ukraine. How can you trust a man with no center? Five takeaways from Trump's fateful decision to freeze all military aid to Ukraine. Ukraine has lost the war. they have focused more on embezzling and stealing money and putting it in the pockets of their oligarchs than they have prosecuting the war. They're more than happy. See, it's not just Western Ukrainians that are being sent to the front to die. Those vans that are driving around picking people up that I showed in a previous video, a lot of those are Eastern Ukrainian, Russian-speaking people who are being forced to go to the front line and killed by their brothers in Russia. It's such a human tragedy. It breaks my heart. It's hard to talk. But people say, you need to yell less, which I'm trying to in today's edition. Do you have any idea how hard it is to sit here alone in my office in front of this camera and convey these stories without getting a little excited, without getting a little elevated? The stuff hits. I leave this process of making these videos. Half the time I walk out of this room and I go see my family and I am feeling heavy and I got to recharge with them because I carry it with me. And you get upset because I yell. Trump is serious about brokering peace. He and Putin likely have a secret agreement. It's not a comprehensive one yet. Poland might have a pivotal role to play, and the new detente is Trump's priority. And I just want to focus on detente. I want to focus on the fact that how does the world change for the better if Russia and the United States are no longer enemies, and if Russia isn't treated like a pariah state, that the nationalists who believe in a multipolar, multi-representative world actually get to avoid global destruction, because that's what the other side wants. That's what our side wants. We want World War III, which leads to global destruction. I don't know how people can de-link these concepts in their head. If we go to total war with Russia, we all die. The vast majority of us are dead. Civilization is over, and we get to try again in a few thousand years. How do people not understand that? The overall theme of this next segment is time isn't on Zelensky's side, says the White House. Completely true. This was written back on March 3rd, and the situation has deteriorated rapidly for the Ukrainians. Ukraine war briefing, thousands of Kiev's troops in Kursk, nearly surrounded by Russian forces. So the mainstream media here in the West made huge splashy headlines about this offensive into Russian territory and how the Ukrainians had seized huge swaths of the Russian heartland and how that was a signal that they were on their way to winning the war. Well, Kursk is almost over. Thousands of Ukrainian troops are encircled. Their only line of retreat in connection to Ukraine is a half-kilometer wide, narrow pathway. And if they try to retreat through it, they're going to be assailed from either side, from both flanks, by the Russian forces. It is a disaster. Zelensky should have signed something earlier because he is losing every single day any leverage he had. He doesn't have any leverage. Ukraine already lost the war, but the EU hasn't figured that out. I would say that it's not that the EU hasn't figured it out. It's more that the EU is living in fear of the consequences of the Ukraine war ending. There's a whole vast swath of accountability that they are all going to have to face, and they're willing to put that off and kick the ball down the road as long as they can. The collapse of the Zelensky cult, once treated as untouchable, Zelensky is now exposed, his arrogance unchecked, his failures undeniable, and his usefulness to the West rapidly fading. As an adjunct of Western designs, with Trump in office and with the war winding down, Zelensky is going to be the first one turfed. And remember, it's interesting how they say he was untouchable. He's only been untouchable since 2022. Prior to that, everybody talked about how corrupt his regime was. And again, the public is just expected to forget this. You're supposed to put your Ukrainian flag emoji in your bio, on your social media platforms, and just mindlessly support the march towards World War III. Thank God we are walking away from that. Also, the Russia-Ukraine war and global trade allocations. This is just interesting reading, but I'll just read you the summary. Ukraine lost $19.4 billion in exports, while Russia gained $68.3 billion. Russia realized trade gains of $41.1 billion in Asia. So for all the pain, all of the sanctions, everything that has been targeted against Russia, it has completely failed. It hasn't helped Ukraine. It has just further impoverished the poorest country in Europe Meanwhile, Russia is doing just fine. This idea of an imminent Russian collapse is hogwash. They're fighting a war of attrition, and they are winning. And meanwhile, they have found plenty of markets to buy their products. Some headlines: U.S. reportedly halts offensive cyber ops against Russia as Trump pulls world back from brink. 100% true, should be celebrated, but instead it is condemned by your mainstream media that begs government to keep them propped up. U.S. approves new Russian ambassador as major reset underway. You know who else did a reset, or at least attempted to? For their own reasons, for different reasons, the Obama administration. And nobody called them traitors. Nobody spent 4 years trying to undermine Obama and the Clintons' Uranium One deal, trying to actually do a relations reset like they did with Trump in 2016. The stuff that we're doing now could have happened between 2016 and 2020, except the opposition was much stronger. The lie was much more thorough and much more well-ensconced and much more accepted by the public. It's not working in 24, and thank God it's not working. Putin-Trump summit being expedited in wake of Zelensky White House row. Why shouldn't the Americans and the Russians try to de-escalate? Wouldn't it be better to focus on things like U.S. scours world for egg supplies after Biden's insane slaughter of 150 million chickens? So I've seen a lot of memes about U.S. egg prices, and they try to blame it on Trump. The guy hasn't even been in office for that long. They try to blame it on him, but these false people, these parrots of the leftist paradigm, don't care about the truth. For them, the ends justify the means, even if they have to abandon any semblance of morality and soul along the way. So Biden absolutely devastates the American supply of chicken and egg production. And then they try to pin it on Trump, who is left just trying to come up with 150 million birds out of nowhere. In 6 months, the problem will be solved. It won't even take 6 months. But for now, it's a political talking point for your cheap progressive left who has abandoned any semblance of truth. And I would argue relevance. And why would I say relevance? Because progressivism's dead. We just haven't got the memo here in Canada. It has completely discredited itself. It's jumped off the deep end. It is a font of mental illness is what it is. Mental health experts see massive increase in despair and burnout among Democrats, also called dramatic acting out. Democrats choose fake women over real women. Yet again, the Democratic Party has once again shown us exactly where their priorities lie, and it's not with protecting women and girls. On Monday, Senate Democrats banded together to block a common sense bill to keep biological males from invading women's sports. This is an idea that came and has went. And again, we just need to get the memo here in Canada. Men are men, women are women. That's the way it is. People can live action role play all they want, but it doesn't make it real. Democrats refuse to applaud Black Cancer Kid. Republican Al Green booted for temper tantrum during speech. This was absolutely heartless. Like, I watched this live, and I've been meaning to talk about it. This poor kid who's been through the mill is being given one of the sweetest things, the head of the Secret Service makes him an honorary Secret Service member, and this kid just gives him a hug. And then later on, he's in the Oval Office, and he gives the president a hug. Kids are so beautiful. It brings tears to my eyes how genuine and beautiful kids are. And these Democrats, they just want to destroy them. These leftists just want to sexualize them. They want to turn them into some perverted outgrowth of their bizarre and corrupt ideology. Maryland Dems lose all sense of reality and focus on condoms for kids and reparations. Condoms for kids. They already want to teach them about sodomy and oral sex in grade school. They want to teach your kids that they can change genders as easily as they can change their clothes. They're sexualizing them. They're preparing for the P to be added to that LGBT horrible acronym that they have. They celebrate taking kids to sex shows, drag sex shows. They're perverts. They're wrong. We need more discrimination against some of these behaviors, not less. The closet door has been opened far too wide, and some things that should have stayed in there should never have came out. Mississippi judge orders newspaper to remove editorial criticizing city council. So if you, the Americans still have this problem. They still have judges that were appointed by previous administrations, and those judges are advocates for, instead of telling the truth, suppressing the truth and ordering retractions. CNN retracts fake fact check over Trump's transgender mice claim. So Trump recently highlighted how the American taxpayer is funding transgender surgeries in mice. And of course, CNN had to immediately come out and try to downplay it or whitewash it. And in the end, turns out to be entirely true. Trans surgeries increase risk of suicidal ideation. Oxford study. Our analysis reveals a significantly elevated risk of mental health disorders. We didn't need another study to know this. If you have an identity problem that is so fundamentally core that you think, even though we live in a godless world, that you think you were born in the wrong body and somehow mutilating yourself is going to lead to a positive outcome, this is why they're more violent. This is why they're more mentally disturbed. They don't need acceptance. They don't need tolerance. What they need to be told is, look, as an adult, you can do what you want. But the reality is you are what you're born in. You're okay in the body you were born in. They need to be taught to love themselves as they are instead of engaging in self-mutilation. When did we lose sight of that? When did we stop saying to people, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? When did we stop telling people you're okay in the body you were born in, teaching people to love themselves? The ideology that is wrapped up under that rainbow flag is an ideology of hate. They're teaching your kids to hate themselves, not to love themselves. When they talk about banning conversion therapy, what they're actually banning, it's such a perversion of words. Conversion therapy, as defined by them, means teaching people that they're okay the way they were born. And we banned that in Canada. And we banned it with Conservative Party support. Where is Polyev now? Why hasn't he talked about C4? Why hasn't he said he made a mistake? Why hasn't he said that he'll fix what the Conservative Party did? That's what we need right now. We need a return to sanity. Judge blocks Trump's ban on chemical and surgical mutilation of children. Why do headlines like this even exist? 20 years ago, it would have been insane. The judges aren't reading the room. Google Calendar removes Pride and Black History Month and other DEI dates because the culture understands, the business community. When Trump gave his inaugural address, seated on his side of the floor was Musk and Zuckerberg and the heads of all the tech companies. And Jeff Bezos, who has issued an order to his newspaper that they are going to go full steam about talking about the importance of fundamental rights and freedoms, as opposed to the DEI woke nonsense they were engaged in. I'm not trying to celebrate them. They're just reading the room. Business owners go where the culture's going. They want to make money. And they've sensed the shift. We're not going back, in spite of what Canadian politicians might want you to think, and in spite of their lukewarm and milquetoast responses now. We're not going back to the transgender progressivism that we just are coming out of now. It's over, folks. Celebrate it, because it's going to create a safer future for your kids, or at least enable the possibility of creating a safer future. Another thing that's over, which nobody seems to understand, is the whole panic about climate change and carbon. Only 10 of 195 countries meet UN deadline to submit emissions reduction plans. It's over. It's bad for business. It doesn't fit in a multipolar world, and there is no panic. There is no actual climate crisis. We've always had storms. We've always had hurricanes. We've been in an interglacial warm period for 10,000 years with receding ice caps and glaciers all over the world for that entire 10,000 years. We know it's been happening, and we know that even if it's accelerating now, we don't know. We have no clue what CO2's actual impact on that is. It's certainly not as devastating as the alarmists would like you to think. Meanwhile, Canada has committed itself to self-destruction. Take tariffs off the table. Take the trade war off the table. And let's just pretend the status quo was going to continue and the Americans weren't going to pick on us. They weren't going to bully us into actually cleaning up our drug problem and our crime problem and dealing fairly in trade. We have a carbon tax increase coming of 23% on April 1st. The Americans and Mexico and China, none of them have carbon taxes. None of them have carbon pricing. We are killing ourselves. We are making it so that it is impossible for our people to compete over nothing for no reason whatsoever. The American business climate is set to improve incredibly, massively. It can't be understated. So even absent the trade war, the Americans are like a vacuum. They're going to suck all our businesses, even just headquarters of transnational companies. They're going to leave Canada en masse because they want to make more money. And Canada just wants to punish makers and empower takers. And here we are already at 40 minutes, and some of the subjects I haven't covered yet are going to warrant a bit more time and care. So we're going to leave off here. If you like the work, please consider supporting it via the website. Thank you if you have. I appreciate all of it. I appreciate the shares. I appreciate the likes. I have an incredible, engaged community, and I appreciate all of you. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.